Condições de começar. Não sei se. Do you have a direct translation?
Yeah. So I'll ask people, the headset that is in front of you is for translation, so please put that on and turn it on.
The channels for Portuguese is one, English is two.
Okay. Short time.
Penso que estamos em condições de começar. Começaria por cumprimentar todos os presentes. A delegação que recebemos hoje do Estado da Califórnia e os senhores e senhoras deputados da Comissão de Ambiente, Ordenamento do Território e Energia, que estão presentes. E só dar informação a nível de intervenções futuras, que eu, enquanto na qualidade de vice-presidente da Comissão de Ambiente, tenho a honra e o privilégio de presidir esta sessão, por ausência do Sr. Presidente, que ainda estará presente no final da presente sessão. Os grupos parlamentares dos deputados, que irão depois colocar algumas questões e algumas intervenções, são o Partido Socialista, o Partido Social Democrata, o Bloco de Esquerda e o PCP, o Partido Comunista Português, não falha a memória, dos que estão presentes. Fazer uma breve apresentação da Comissão. A Comissão de Ambiente tem como competências essenciais na área do ambiente, da energia, do ordenamento do território e no que concerne ao ambiente relativamente à crise climática, à mitigação e adaptação às alterações climáticas, conservação da natureza e biodiversidade, recursos hídricos, no domínio hídrico, no domínio dos serviços de abastecimento de água, e de saneamento, controle da poluição, incluindo a emissão de gases com efeito de estufa, qualidade do ar, prevenção de controle e ruído e outro conjunto de atribuições na área do ambiente. Destaco só estas mais relevantes. Na área de energia, relativamente à política energética e recursos geológicos, em especial no respeito à sua integração nas medidas ambientais e do planeamento energético. Na área do território, relativa à política de ordenamento do território e urbanismo, em destaque à Política Nacional de Ordenamento do Território, Reserva Ecológica Nacional e Reserva Agrícola Nacional. E também na estratégia de aplicação dos fundos nacionais e comunitários na alçada do Estado-membro responsável do Governo pelo ambiente. Conforme é do conhecimento de todos, repito que é uma honra recebermos sobre os temas essenciais na área de matéria de energia e de ambiente, até porque Portugal tem feito uma forte aposta no concerne às atuações climáticas, às energias renováveis. Felizmente, somos um país que, do ponto de vista do território, em termos de disponibilidade de ventos, ou seja, de condições para a produção de energia eólica, condições para a produção de energia solar, complementadas com aquilo que é a energia hídrica, que para o funcionamento de todo este eixo é essencial estas condições. Felizmente, o território português usufrui das melhores condições para a produção destas energias renováveis. Esta aposta, visto que somos um país sem petróleo e sem recursos próprios de combustíveis fósseis, é uma aposta primordial para aquilo que é a autonomia energética de Portugal e para aquilo que são os desafios futuros, e que muito nos honra a vossa visita nesta matéria e podemos compartilhar algumas experiências, porque certamente todos nós temos muito para aprender, principalmente com os representantes do Estado da Califórnia. Só de dizer que, por lapso meu, não me referi no início, que estão presentes do Estado da Califórnia membros associados ao Governo Estatal, ao Senado Estatal, e se não me falha a memória, ok, Pronto, e penso que para já termino esta breve introdução com o agradecimento mais uma vez por esta visita e por esta sessão. Muito obrigado. E em termos de sessão, passaria à intervenção da delegação que passaria então, faça favor, muito obrigado.
Good afternoon. It's so wonderful to be here. I am a Portuguese descendant. It's my first time to Portugal, and my heart is full. I want to thank you for hosting us, and we will learn so much in the next couple of days about Portugal and how we can share, how we can collaborate, how we can learn from each other's lessons, and I am just honored to be here today with my colleagues, as well as my private partnerships that are here as well. I would like just to take a moment to introduce you to some of the incredible people that I work with at this California State Assembly. I'm Cecilia Aguiar Curry. I represent Northern California, the Napa region, which is a lot of wine. But I have six counties that I represent, 500,000 constituents. And it's very challenging, very progressive, very conservative. So you always have to be very careful on how you do policy in my area. I would also like to introduce, and if my colleagues, as I call your name, would stand, I'd appreciate it. I have Assembly Member James Cooper. He is also on the California Employees Retirement Plan. He's instrumental. He used to be a police officer, so he gives us some really good ideas on policy. I have Heath Flora, who is Vice Chair of our Natural Resources Committee. We have Laura Friedman. She is our chairman of our Transportation Committee. Chris Holden, our chairman of the Utilities and Energy Committee. And last but not least, one of my favorite, don't get upset anyone, is Assemblymember Jim Wood, Dr. Jim Wood, and he's in charge of the Health Committee. With that being said, I'd like to turn the microphone over to my good friend, Senator Hertzberg. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thanks to everyone for extending this gracious invitation to us in this historic building that so many of folks that came before us dealt with their challenges of the day. And here we are as our generation dealing with our challenges of the day. My name is Robert Hertzberg. I am the Majority Leader of the California State Senate. Before I talk about the senators, we have some representatives of the Governor's Administration of California, Governor Newsom, who are here, very important people as part of this delegation, as this is both legislative and executive in its approach. First is David Hochschild, the chair of our California Energy Commission, is right here. Spent 20 years in the solar energy business and is very knowledgeable in the space, critically important in implementing so many of our policies relating to energy. Serena McElwain, right here, the Undersecretary of the California Environmental Protection Agency of the Governor's Office. In our state, we have two houses, unlike here. We have a Senate, like in the United States Congress, and Assembly, which is the House of Representatives. As the Chair just indicated, each member of the Assembly represents 500,000 people. I know that you represent the entire body of the country, but your constituencies are informed by electorate. Ours, we actually represent 500,000 people in the Assembly, and there's 40 senators, 80 Assembly members of 40 million people. In the Senate, of course, with 40 million people, each of us represent 1 million people. We have very important representatives from California here today. And I want to start with Josh Becker, who's the Vice Chair of the Joint Committee on Climate Change. Senator Becker represents the Silicon Valley area of California that many know. Andres Borges, where is he? He's the Vice Chair of the Agricultural Committee and represents Central Valley with a large Portuguese population. And Nancy Skinner, the most important of all of us, even though I've got the big title, she represents Berkeley in the San Francisco area, and she's the chair of the Budget Committee, and she got to spend a couple hundred billion dollars extra this year, and we are all into her debt. And I just wanted to say that, you know, we are all grappling with this extraordinary challenge. I served some decades ago as Speaker of the California Assembly when your Prime Minister came and addressed us in the California legislature. I believe it was in 2000. Antonio's last name? Yeah, was it? Okay. And so, but we've had a strong and important relationship, and as we are facing these challenges of what we have to do to protect the next generation, to protect the globe, we draw as politicians artificial lines in the sand that we call nation states at this point in our history, or cities or states or counties. We have over 5,000 subdivisions of government in the state of California. At the end of the day, we have one planet. We all share it together. We all harmonize together. And we are here in part of that larger mission to learn from you. Wind technology, we're going to go see some of the offshore wind that our Energy Commission is very interested in, and to continue to share ideas and learn from each other as we all seek to protect planet Earth, because as Sternberg says, there is no planet B. And with that, thank you so very much for including us. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
Well, let me just very briefly say thank you very much to our wonderful facilitators at the U.S. Embassy who helped arrange this meeting. I really appreciate the help of Daniel and Giscard, so let me just give a good shout out to them. It's an honor for the foundation to be able to bring our elected leaders and our business leaders and environmental and labor leaders with our delegation. We'll be here for 13 days. This is day four. There's such a love of Portugal already just in our few days that we've been here. We're very much looking forward to exploring the rest of the country and learning more. And we've already shared a lot with many of your fellow countrymen. And we're looking forward to the next 9 days. So we've got a lot more exciting things to do, a lot more bacalhau to eat and good wine to drink. And we've really enjoyed it so much. And this is a very special opportunity for us to something that's so important for us to talk about climate change. And we're coming to Portugal because you're leaders. And so thank you for the opportunity to meet with you and to share ideas. And we'll look forward to building a partnership that we hope can last our lifetimes and the lifetimes for our kids and people past if we do our job right.
Muito obrigado. Passamos então à próxima fase de intervenções dos grupos parlamentares. Eu, antes de passar a palavra por ordem de representatividade, só de dar a informação, que penso que já vos terão dado esta informação, apesar do sistema parlamentar português ter só uma Câmara representativa de toda a população do território nacional, esta sala, Portugal já não tem duas Câmaras, já não tem o Senado. Apesar desta sala se designar-se, e quando Portugal tinha as duas câmaras, era a sala do Senado, atualmente é a sala do Senado, sem que exista esta segunda câmara, a Câmara Alta, no nosso sistema político. Portanto, dando a palavra para a ordem de representatividade, daria a palavra ao Sr. Deputado Alexandre Quintanilha, do Grupo Parlamentar do Partido Socialista.
Good morning, everyone. Be welcome. Let me start by saying that having lived in Berkeley for two decades gives me great pleasure to welcome you, Nancy Skinner. as former and one of the first assistant directors of the Energy and Environment Division of the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab from the mid-70s to the early 90s, and director of the Center for Atmospheric and Biospheric Effects of Technology, also at LBNL, I was able, with my esteemed friend and colleague Art Rosenfeld, whom you probably know very well, sadly no longer with us, but also with John Holdren, Sam Berman, Steve Selkowitz, Mark Levine, and many others, help launch many research projects in energy conservation and efficiency at the forefront of many of these areas. So you can understand what a big pleasure it is to have you here today with us. This has to be very telegraphic, and I would like to leave you with two questions. Obviously, that have been determined by some of my background. The first one is to try to understand what is the current situation regarding the efficiency use of both energy and water in California, which I know has been a huge area of study for many, many decades. And the second question is slightly ironic. I would say that given that after 25 years of Conference of Parts, these COPs, and the fact that during all of this time, CO2 levels have not only continued to grow, but have done so at an increased rate, as we can all see, what are California's strategies to adapt to climate change, because it's likely, very likely, to actually take place? Let me end by saying that given that the area of California is 9 times that of Portugal, but we're in the same latitude and to some extent similar climate, and that Portugal has an exclusive economic zone of almost 2 million square kilometers, including the Azores and Madeira, and you are particularly interested in the exploration of energy in the sea, what are the important areas? Or let me say, I believe there are many important areas for future collaboration, both in research and innovation. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado. Só dar a informação que o Sr. Presidente, o deputado José Maria Cardoso, já está entre nós e que assim que terminemos esta sessão iremos depois de trocar de lugar. Segue-se o grupo parlamentar do Partido Social Democrata, que eu questiono. Então tem a palavra o Sr. Deputado Nuno Carvalho.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Well, first of all, let me welcome all of you in English, and please accept my compliments, our warm compliments in Portugal. But please understand that I take great pleasure in speaking to you in Portuguese, so I'll continue in Portuguese. Bom, em primeiro lugar, dizer que esta delegação, naturalmente, que tem uma importância significativa naquilo que é o desenvolvimento de uma política comum e uma política comum para a transição energética, que é um bem necessário, um objetivo necessário do ponto de vista mundial. E, portanto, como é um esforço coletivo, qualquer iniciativa que permita que as zonas mais desenvolvidas, os maiores blocos económicos consumidores de energia, que possam desenvolver para uma transição energética e que possam também aplicar políticas ambientais, nós sabemos que as mudanças serão, eu diria que, muito positivas para o mundo inteiro. E, portanto, naturalmente que o Grupo Parlamentar do PSD vê esta iniciativa e esta presença de uma delegação tão importante do Estado da Califórnia como mais um ato e mais um gesto de um esforço que não diz respeito apenas ao Estado da Califórnia e a Portugal, mas de facto é necessário para o mundo inteiro. Dizer então que seria muito interessante poder ouvir perspectivas, opiniões e visões da vossa parte, em primeiro lugar sobre aquilo que é a possibilidade de, numa fase de transição, num phase-out, que é normal acontecer na transição energética, a perspectiva de um interesse estratégico no que diz respeito ao Porto de Sines, onde naturalmente tem um papel a desempenhar para que continuamente nós utilizemos formas de energia cada vez menos poluentes até formas de energia que são totalmente renováveis e naturalmente que o Porto de Sines tem uma ligação, pode ser estrategicamente relevante para os Estados Unidos e estrategicamente relevante para a Europa, considerando que outras alternativas de fornecimento de gás, e sublinho nesta parte do phase-out, estão situadas geograficamente em sítios que, do ponto de vista geopolítico, não são os melhores, nem para os Estados Unidos, nem para a Europa. Segundo ponto, onde também gostaria de chamar a vossa atenção, é o facto de, e para terminar, Sr. Presidente, é o facto de Portugal representar, provavelmente também com Espanha, um local que, do ponto de vista estratégico, é privilegiado para a produção de energias renováveis e que, nesse mesmo sentido, é um local onde, de facto, pode haver uma grande produção que pode servir o restante continente europeu. E, portanto, daquilo que é a definição da política pública na Europa para que haja uma produção de energia renovável e, como bem sabem, a produção, neste momento, não está ainda a ir satisfazer a total da procura, significa que Portugal e Espanha, particularmente Portugal, que tem definido essa política pública já há muito tempo, é um local privilegiado para que, para que consiga existir um investimento que, na prática, não serve apenas às necessidades energéticas de Portugal, mas servirá às necessidades energéticas de uma boa parte da Europa, enquanto, sublinho, um dos blocos económicos mais desenvolvidos, importantes e mais consumidores de energia no mundo inteiro. And now, just another note to thank you all for your presence here, and I hope that you can come back to Portugal and that the rest of your visit here will continue to be the most wonderful visit. You will see that between Portugal and California, we have a lot of things that are similar, but please allow me to say that our Portuguese food is the best. Please try the Portuguese food.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Segue-se o grupo parlamentar do Bloco de Esquerda, Sr. Deputado Nelson de Peralta.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to greet everybody that is here visiting us. I represent Left Bloc, that is a party here in the Parliament, the third biggest. Our focus is in social equality, but also in ecological transition. And I would like to do some questions about some stuff that is very similar in California and in Portugal. One of the most... Portugal in Europe is one of the countries that have the most risk on climate change, on the forest fires and also on the floodings because of the sea rising. I guess that in California, at least the forest fires is very, it's a central problem, as well as the lack of water. And there is a similarity between the economics of California and the new economics of Portugal. California is the main producer of almonds in the world. You produce 80% of all the almonds in the world. In Portugal, okay, we are a bit smaller, so it's not that numbers, but we produce much of the paper for Europe, and so our forest is built with trees from Australia that are not suitable for our climate and that have a high risk for forest fires. And nowadays we are starting also to have the same kind of, as you produce almonds, we start to produce in the same way olive oil, not in a traditional way, but in a very industrial way. And so this means that we need to put much energy to transport the paper from Portugal to the rest of Europe. We need to put much energy to transport olive oil and other productions for the rest of the world, as for almond in California. And that creates two problems. One is, how can we change this economy that to be more diverse, to have less impact in the place, because almonds, as our agriculture nowadays and forest, produce much impact here, produce much risks for climate change, namely the forest fires and the lack of water. And so how can we change that economy? And how can we create an economy that can be more local, where what we produce is consumed locally? Because we think that it's very important that we change our energy from oil, that is something that we should keep it in the ground, and we should not do wars on it, and we should, of course, go to renewable energies, but we think it's also, we need a more bigger transformation in the world to change the way how we produce and consume goods, to produce it locally and more sustainability. And I think those two things are very similar in California and in Portugal, because our economy is built in the long range commerce, and that we think should change. And only to finalize that, to greet you again, we think the solidarity between the people is very important, and that we need a more democratic and social world, and also in our part a more socialist world. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Deputado. Segue-se o grupo parlamentar do Partido Comunista Português, a deputada Alma Rivera. Tem a palavra, faz favor.
Muito obrigada, Sr. Presidente em funções. Eu vou falar em português. Começo por cumprimentar a todos. Em nome do Partido Comunista Português, queremos saudar-vos e dar-vos as boas-vindas. Esperamos que esta vossa visita esteja a corresponder às expectativas e, se possível, a ultrapassar as vossas expectativas. Os problemas e os desafios que enfrentamos são globais. Exigem, para além das ações nacionais, um intercâmbio e a cooperação internacional, pelo que é sempre importante conhecer e partilhar diferentes realidades e planos de ação. Partilhava convosco que, em Portugal, estamos a atravessar um momento importante com a discussão da Lei de Bases do Clima. É um momento em que temos de olhar com objetividade para o percurso feito e entender que a forma predatória de utilização dos recursos que o sistema capitalista exige, tal como as desigualdades e as dominações no mundo, não servem os objetivos de justiça social nem de equilíbrio ambiental e climático. Portanto, são muitos os desafios e o trabalho que todos temos. Desejamos-vos bom trabalho e esperemos que possamos avançar num sentido mais justo para o futuro. Obrigada.
Obrigado, Sra. Deputada. E para terminar esta ronda de intervenções, em representação do Grupo Parlamentar do Partido Animais e Natureza, a Sra. Deputada Inês Sousa Real.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. It's a party of people, animals and nature. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like, in the name of our parliamentary group, to welcome you for your presence and thank you very much for being here. As in Portugal, California has also suffered from extreme weather events, and the challenge that the climate crisis brings us are common. And we cannot fail to express our solidarity with the catastrophic fires that the state of California has been suffered, especially in the recent years. Indeed, our territories face very similar challenges with the effects of the climate change, fires, droughts, water scarcity, desertification, and the rising sea levels, with the submergence of vast coastal areas. Therefore, this meeting is particularly relevant, where we will be able to exchange experience for the challenge that we have ahead. Our party proposed in this parliament, in our climate bill, that the maximum priority of and urgency that must be given to an elaboration of a climate change risk atlas, so that based on this scientific knowledge, rapid action can be taken to adapt our territory to climate change. We would like to know your experience and also your opinion regarding to this importance, mainly because of the risk of the sea level, the forestry and water reorganization to combat desertification and guarantee the existence of drinking water. So the first question I would like to ask you, whether the state of California already has such a similar instrument as well, has short, medium and long term action to plan to adapt the territory to the effect of the climate change. Secondly, I would like to address you very specific questions about the policies that the state of California has pursued, namely if there is there being planned to be done regarding the submersion of the coastal areas. Have cost benefits, for example, analysis been carried to determine whether the best option would be the relocation and of infrastructure and short-term engineering strategy, or any strategy regarding the availability of water and drinking water? What is the opinion that you have been pursued or being considered regarding this issue? And finally, regarding the fight against the desertification, has California been betting on forest reorganization? What actions have you been implemented or planning to implement in this matter? I end by thanking you once again for your presence. It's a pleasure to be able to share our vision and experience with your committee, because we have a common issue to protect our common home, and we can only do that on achieving a common unit and global efforts. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Muito obrigado, Sra. Deputada. Passamos então à fase das conclusões, em que eu convidaria os meus colegas de mesa, no fundo, a comentarem um pouco aquilo que foram as intervenções dos grupos parlamentares, que depois desta fase seguirá aqui um pequeno coffee break. Então, tem a palavra.
Thank you. I took notes, I think, of most of the comments, and if you will give me about 6 hours, I think I can give you some good answers to all those questions. Whether it's adaptation, we saw the issue of adaptation in water, the issues of less pollution, the issues of the ports and the challenges that that creates, capitalism being insensitive to the bigger issues of climate and the like, the animals and nature, adaptation. Let me start with a couple of thoughts, because what happened just real on a personal level, I left government for 12 years, and I was Speaker of the House during the energy crisis when the lights went out. And it caused a deep think about how do we deal with these issues? What are the policies? We in California at the time the law was written really had a hard time even dealing with renewables. It was very challenging because we hadn't thought about it in any deep manner from a public policy perspective. And so I traveled the world and worked heavily. And I think the most important point I can make here is whether we come from a subnational government in California or we're here in this very esteemed hall in this very old democracy and country of Portugal, that we all have this common humanity, that every question that was raised here today are questions that we grapple with. And unlike certain challenges that we face as public policy makers, this one's in common. We all live it together. The question about are we really, you know, with the COP26 that we're about to go to, are we really reducing the numbers? Well, we brag about how we've reduced the numbers, but quite frankly, it doesn't matter if the ships that are coming into our harbor are spewing particulate matter from those that bunker fuel that they use. It doesn't matter if the amount of water we use for almonds is so great that it's so turned upside down, and the cost of moving that water from an energy perspective is the same way. So what I find as a student of history and someone who's been around this business for a long time is, as Chair Cecilia Aguiar-Curry said, my heart sings. My heart sings because as so many of us in the next generation, I'm the last generation, the old guys around, but there's a real energy and there's an interest in these questions, and that there's hope that we as citizens of the world can fix these things. You know, if you look back at Portugal and big whaling communities and the Azores and the like, and the importance of whale oil or salt as a preservative, we are now facing a new challenge. When the cars first came out, something like 80% of all cars ran on steam. They ran on water. And then the politics of the oil companies changed that, and we went to internal combustion engines. And now we're going to electricity, and we're trying to figure out how we can make cleaner electricity in the process. So all of us are here with inquisitive, creative, inquisitive minds to try to learn from each other, which is a big thing. And we have a lot of these policies that you've referenced, but they're not that good. We have to make them better. We've got new senators here that are deeply concerned in this process, members of the legislature and you. And the only thing I would disagree with you on in terms of local's important. But I think that when you, and I'll finish here, when you deal with the issue of climate change, it's important to have understandings and interrelationships because we live on this shrinking planet. Think about what our parents and grandparents did and how little they moved around, how much we move around. We snap our fingers and we're here in Portugal studying with you. So I think that the idea of us all being in this and together is a very big thing. We can certainly localize all sorts of issues, but at the end of the day, what we're grappling with here as students of public policy, as inventors and creators of the future, are figuring out how we do this together. and to learn from each other. And the second you come up with a good idea, our job is to steal it and implement it, and the same thing vice versa, because we're all doing the same thing, trying to fix the planet with new technologies, new ideas, new approaches, and that's the most important thing, that we're in this together. So I try to take a broader view of this because I've been working on this for decades, thinking about it a lot. And, you know, we've really made some extraordinary progress, but in the scheme of things, as you mentioned, you know, it's nothing. And we've got to move faster and bigger and better.
Thank you, Bob. There's so many things on this list. We could, like the senator said, we could be here forever. But what I do know is there's hope. And the hope I have sitting here today is all of you that it spoke up, all these young voices. Because my generation has destroyed. We did not do our job. The baby boomers, we took advantage. And now we need to fix it, and we need to clean up the climate, and how can we do that? And so why I'm here today and why I'm in the position I am is because I want to change. I want to leave a better world to my children, my grandchildren. And if we don't do that, it's going to get worse. I want to hopefully, in my time, is to make sure we can stabilize what we have destroyed, what we have done, so that you, as the young people that are here, can help improve. My district was totally on fire. Assemblymember Wood, raise your hand. We fought fires for 5 years, and it broke my heart. Completely broke my heart to see what it's done to people, the inequality we have found along the way, that people are still struggling today. They still don't have roofs over their head. We've got to stop that. There's nothing worse than going to a fire and have families crying, and you take them to their home and there's nothing left. A lot of it's our own fault. I chair the local government committee, and there was some rules and regulations we should have adhered to, that there's a road that could go in and out to a community, but when there's only one way and there's a fire, it just takes up a whole area. There's a lot of things that I've learned in my short period of time of being in the assembly, which is 5 years, but it can't continue. It just can't continue. This past year, we've seen the hottest summer that I've ever seen in my entire life in the community I live in. Why? Is it because of the fires? Is it because of CO2? I mean, what is it? But whatever it is, it's wrong, and we need to figure it out. And it's very frustrating to me because I think that we have let down my children and my grandchildren. Now's the time to fix it. I also farm. I farm almonds and walnuts. So it's ironic that you brought that up, because right now we're the difficulty of doing imports and exports of fruits and vegetables, perishables, in and out of California into the rest of the world, because we don't have a good supply chain. And we have a lot of work to do on trying to get that taken care of and making sure that our ports are clean. And that discussion is always with manufacturers, agriculture, labor, trying to come up with a resolution that we can get our products from point A to point B in a better, cleaner way to do that. Well, like I said, there's a lot to talk about here. But I will say is that we have short-range ideas. Throw money at it. Not a really good plan. We've had a lot of hard time with the fires, and so we've done a lot of cleanup, bought new equipment, got more labor, but that's not the entire answer. We have to have a longer plan, and we attempt to do that every single year, trying to make some good policy, and we have not always done, I think, the best job or a comprehensive job. Build a foundation, I say, and from that foundation, build up even a better plan, because we don't have sometimes even a good foundation. So I just want to thank you. We have some experts with our group that can talk at length with many of this. We have a Department of Energy here. We have private businesses that are here, too, that will be more than happy to share some of their knowledge and where they're going with their businesses as well. So again, thank you very much.
Muito obrigado. Certamente haveria muito mais por dizer e por partilhar de experiências. Agradecer aos nossos visitantes, à delegação do Estado da Califórnia, agradecer aos companheiros de mesa e aos senhores deputados dos grupos parlamentares. E para concluir a sessão, do ponto de vista formal, encerrará o senhor Presidente da Comissão, o senhor Deputado José Maria Cardoso.
Muito obrigado, Sr. Presidente. Peço desculpa falar em português, mas creio que é perfeitamente perceptível, através da tradução, aquilo que eu possa dizer. Em primeiro lugar, saudar todas e todos os presentes e dizer-lhes que é uma honra muito grande, é um gosto recebê-los nesta Casa da Democracia. Uma casa, naturalmente por isso, aberta à pluralidade de opiniões, ao lado multifacetado das intervenções políticas e sociais. E é isso que preze muito que aconteça nesta nossa Casa da Democracia, e assim nós vemos sempre este tipo de intervenção. Permitam-me um pedido de desculpa pelo atraso. Ele tem a ver com o facto de me deslocar em transportes públicos, de comboio, e fiz agora uma viagem longa e, por isso, por vezes, nem sempre se faz o cumprimento dos horários que estão estabelecidos, e daí o meu atraso, pelo qual eu peço imensa desculpa não ter podido acompanhar desde o início este encontro. Espero e desejo que este encontro tenha sido e seja, mesmo que curto, muito limitado no tempo, muito, digamos, constrangido pelo facto de termos pouco tempo para discutir e debater qualquer questão que porventura pudesse ficar melhor alicerçada sobre a troca de informação, mas espero, dizia eu, que este encontro tenha sido do vosso agrado e tenha, acima de tudo, contribuído, do ponto de vista de informação, de conhecimento, de experiências, tenha contribuído, dizia eu, para enriquecer, naturalmente, aquilo que é esta questão comum a todos, que é o conhecimento cada vez mais lato e mais abrangente de como se deve ou como podemos intervir na questão da defesa do meio ambiente. É que, acima de tudo, estes encontros, creio eu, espero que também este dia por Portugal, a qual desejo que seja excelente, sob um ponto de vista até desse lado profícuo, para conhecer melhor a nossa realidade, mas dizia eu que, para além disso, também é importante que estes encontros e estas visitas sejam motivadoras para novas abordagens e, por vezes, até metodologias de intervenção diferentes, em conformidade com experiências que se vão tendo e percebendo nos diferentes países. E, neste caso concreto, nossas aqui em Portugal, que temos trabalhado de uma forma, digamos, com afinco mesmo, este tema, como já foi dito, estamos para fazer aprovar, espero eu que sim, naturalmente, em nome da Comissão, uma lei de bases do clima, e que uma lei de clima que permita, no fundo, criar condições para intervir de uma forma mais incisiva, mais objetiva e mais ativa sobre aquilo que são os desígnios de todos. Porque, na verdade, mesmo percebendo que, por vezes, estas questões podem ter intervenções locais, e devem ter, e terão, com certeza, em muitas situações, o problema é muito mais global do que propriamente local. E se não houver uma ação concertada entre os diferentes países, entre diferentes Estados, neste caso concreto, que vocês aqui representam, mas, acima de tudo, uma consciência comum da necessidade de uma intervenção diferente, o trabalho que possa ser desenvolvido localmente poderá não ter o efeito desejado e ser muito pouco producente daquilo que é pretendido. E, por isso, estas matérias devem ser vistas nesta perspectiva de casa comum, à escala global, numa perspectiva sempre de termos em entendimento que há influências que podem ser provocadas a partir de um determinado local, mas que tenham consequência numa outra parte do mundo e numa outra região. E, portanto, esta lógica global deverá estar sempre presente nas considerações que nós possamos abordar sobre todas estas questões. E depois dizer-lhes, com toda a sinceridade, que acho que já é tempo de termos um tempo diferente. Ou seja, se tivermos um período de reflexão, um período de constatação, de criação até mais técnica, científica, neste momento é preciso ação, é preciso agir, é tempo de agir, porque na verdade está em causa a defesa daquilo que é o nosso planeta como casa comum. E como nós normalmente dizemos aqui no nosso país, não há planeta B, ou seja, temos mesmo que salvar este, e por isso este desígnio nacional, internacional, mundial, deverá ser, naturalmente, toda a orientação das intervenções políticas que nós possamos fazer, sejam elas aqui em Portugal, sejam elas na Califórnia ou noutra parte qualquer do mundo. Por fim, dizer-lhes que é uma honra, enquanto Presidente desta Comissão, receber uma delegação tão representativa de um Estado tão importante quanto é o da Califórnia. Temos aqui representantes, excuso-me sempre como pedido desculpa, naturalmente, por não falar diretamente nos nomes, mas temos representantes do Estado Governamental, do Senado do Estado da Califórnia, da Assembleia Estadual, diretores de diferentes organismos, empresários, da Fundação Califórnia sobre o Meio Ambiente e Economia, que são, na minha perspectiva, altamente representativos daquilo que é o poder político neste Estado, que nós também muito apreciamos. E por isso dizer que é uma honra e dizer que desejo naturalmente que tenham uma continuação de uma visita ao nosso país que seja extremamente profícua naquilo que é pretendido. Muito obrigado. Muito bem, sendo assim, cabe-me encerrar a sessão e convidar todos agora para o coffee break que vai decorrer aqui na sala ao lado, nos corredores ao lado.